would think chapter Matthew. First eight verses. But before we read, would you bow with me as we speak to our Lord? Our Father, this is a day that the church for 2,000 years has called the Lord's Day. Because of the, and we call them small beginnings, and don't want to offend thee with saying because of the small works of God. And the small manifestation of thee and thy Son, and the little workings of thy Spirit, we call this thy house. The only thing that makes it different from any other building in all the land is because you, O Lord, meet with us. We're looking for greater things. For a more discernible work of thee within our own hearts. And yet we would not despise or take lightly the day of small beginnings. Would you be gracious unto us in first of all speaking to us and in giving us ears to hear and hearts to perceive. We will face thee. And we will give an account for how we heard and then how we responded. And our Father, we long for the day when we can walk away from here with a true testimony saying, surely God was in that place. But I do ask because of your overall silence And the small, tender voice, that you'd give us keen, sharp hearing. Exalt your Son. Glorify your great name. These can only be done, O God, by thy Spirit. These things we ask in Christ's name for his honor and glory. Amen. There's another passage I want to read immediately following this, 2 Peter chapter 1. So if you find that, but hold your place, because I want to read Matthew 17 first. Second Peter chapter 1. And just hold that and look back with me to Matthew 17. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth him up into a high mountain apart. And was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. He always was like this. But it always was hidden, because flesh veiled over the deity of the Godhead in the man Jesus. But God removed that just a little. Now his face will be a lot brighter than the noonday sun, but right now we are ill equipped to see that. Verse 3, and behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elijah talking with him. One of the other gospel writers said they were speaking with him about his death. And Elijah did not go through physical death. Moses did. God buried Moses, and God took Elijah in that chariot. So Jesus Christ is going to die, and his body buried. But he will ascend into the heaven of heavens, and later on sit down on the throne of glory. Been there ever since, folks. And would to God he would bring to our perception, raise us above the mentality of the Jesus that is preached today to the Lord Jesus that sits upon the throne. Then answered Peter and said unto them, and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. Sure it is, Peter. You think so? If thou wilt, Let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And I thought the last couple of days that would be the title. This is my beloved Son. Hear him. But the more I thought about it yesterday, we're going to move from that title, whether we come back, I don't know, but we're moving from it, yet drawing from that verse. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. When God speaks, we all will come to that place on our face, that position on our face, and we will all come to that scared to death. Now you know what that means. In the day in which you live, we're not hearing God. Not to that point. Not to that degree. And the only way anybody's ever going to get up from there is if God does to you what he did to them. Verse 7, and Jesus came and touched them and said, Arise and be not afraid. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man. Save Jesus. Only one left there was the only one that their eyes should have been focused on to begin with. And yet, we thank the Lord for the writings of Moses, for they spoke about Christ. And we thank the Lord for that he has given us of the works of Elijah, for they spoke of Christ. But we get beyond all the writers, inspired of God though they were, we get beyond all the writers to the one that they wrote about. Now 2 Peter chapter 1, certainly such a sight would always be embedded in the mind and upon the heart of Peter, as well as with James and John. And Peter speaks about it. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables, when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses, saw that which nobody else ever saw, though we did see that he was the Christ, the Son of the living God. And though we did know that when many walked away, we had no one else we could turn to, yet we've seen beyond all that, we've seen his majesty. that'll produce much in your heart. That'll bring you to sit quietly at the feet of the Lord Jesus. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory. Heaven was opened that day, a glory that had never been known was revealed that day on the Mount of Transfiguration from the excellent glory. And here's what the voice said. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard, recognized. They knew who was speaking, though the cloud was bright. When we were with him in the Holy Mount. Now this almost seems to us as not being fitting. To conclude it in what Peter saw and what Peter heard on the Mount of Transfiguration, but nevertheless, inspired of God, he writes, verse 19, we have also a more sure word of prophecy. So I'm going to leave to you, or God is going to leave to you, in 66 little books, a more certain word than what we heard. Now, because of the surety of prophecy, Peter admonishes, whereunto ye do well that ye might take heed. Whatever you're reading and whatever you're hearing, take heed. As unto a light that shineth in the dark place, that's our hearts, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. So instead of speaking to you upon God's words to the disciples, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased, hear him. I want to give you, I think, four very general hindrances to hearing. And I am quite certain that you can walk out and there will be others in your mind that you may think about. So this is not complete in any way, but very general hindrances to your hearing. Now, Peter said you got a more sure word. You better take heed. Then I would charge you with the same. Take heed that you hear. And John 5:21, our Lord said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, or words, number one, and believeth on him that sent me, number two, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. But here's the thing about us hearing. As intelligent as you might be in mind, and your IQ bordering on that of brilliance of an Einstein, or one comparatively to him, though your mind might be that sharp, the natural man, 1 Corinthians 2:14, that is, my sensual man that does all the reasoning of that I read and that I hear, that man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. The reason I do not, the reason you do not, is because they are foolishness unto us. What John read you is, it is foolishness unto the natural man that God would do that to His Son. And it creates, even after salvation, a lot of doubt in us. How under heaven could God love a sinner to that degree that He would afflict His Son? So the things of the Spirit of God are foolishness unto us. Neither can we know them. Why, Paul? Every one of them are spiritually discerned. God's got to give you eyes, and God's got to give you ears, and God's got to give you understanding. Now listen, folks, if eternal life is in hearing, and again I remind you that is a present tense verb, not past tense, present tense, which means it is an ongoing process from the first time that God weighted you down with guilt as a sinner. He that heareth, well, that's eternal life. Jesus Christ said it was. Are you hearing? Now, let's get personal. When was the last time you heard God? Have you lost the voice of God? If you know what it is, and you've heard it in the faintest degree, can you go back in time to the last time you think you heard God talking to you? Were you told to do something? This is what you ought to do. This is what you ought to get straightened out in your heart. And then you get away and human reasoning takes over in the mind. And upon thinking about what you thought might have been God talking to you, you just reason, well, that was just me. And the reason that you dismissed that command of God, direction from the Lord, is because it ran contrary to your desires. And demanded a little more of you. than you wanted to give. So you dismissed the voice of God and your desires overcame. You want to be you. I understand that. And you dismissed it. There is no truth in all God's word that doesn't run contrary to that we are by nature. Every truth of God cuts across the very grain of our nature. You say, what about the love of God? If you get down to it, get down really to it, it cuts across the grain. So does every other truth of God. All of it is opposed to our natural being. And here's the thing, no man can serve two masters. You either are in control of your own life or God is. You make the decisions, or you wait on God to direct you. Now let me give you four hindrances that all of us encounter to hearing. We got a more sure word of God. For all of you do well to take good heed to that God has given us in the Holy Writ. Number one, every last one of us are shaped in our day more by religion than we are by the Spirit of God teaching us. Now, hopefully God is bringing us out of religion. Hopefully. But we still got all these fragments and remains of how we were raised and how we think that we ought to behave based upon religion. And you know what religion's done? It's confined or consigned God to a certain hour on the clock. Now, Lord, I'm going to get up at 6, or I'm going to get up at 5:30 every morning, and when I get away from 6 to 6:15, that's your time. Or we've confined God to a location. Okay, Lord, for 1 hour on your day, I'm going to give that to you. And now I say unto you, speak now as Eli told Samuel, go back, lie down, and say to that voice you heard, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. And that's what we do at 11 o'clock. We say, now, Lord, you got an hour. I want you to speak to me. And we've taken the eternal God that spans all eternity. Now, the scientists are not certain, but it has come out recently with the new telescope Kepler that they think that they have discovered 100 and up to over 700 new planets. Now, do the best you can to grasp that. We got the center of our solar system, the sun, with the 9 planets orbiting around it. We figured out how to get to the moon and back. We figured out how to land a rover on Mars. In years it took to do that, years it took to get there and getting to Jupiter, even a greater distance of time. Now they think they've discovered 100 more, and maybe up to 700 more planets out there. How vast is the universe? We can't conceive. And yet God is on the outside of all that. And before time, pre-time, and post-time, God always was. And God that spoke to Abraham, and God that spoke all the worlds into existence, is the same God that is of today. And age 1 second. And the God that was back then is the God that is now present. And the God that is now present is also the God that will be out in the future to all eternity. And this is all at once. There are no tomorrows nor yesterdays or years with God. And yet we've taken the eternal God and we put him in a box. And all of us have said, not in words, I'll take care of the material things. My job, my career, my marriage, my children. When I go, where I go, how I spend my time, and how I spend my finances. You can have 10 minutes every morning, if I got time, before I start getting dressed, or I'll speak to you on the way to work. And you've assigned to God a few minutes on the clock. Or if you don't have time, and things come up on the way to work that interfere with you talking with God, you intend on talking with him when you get home. But you're all worn out and you got all the duties, even when you get away from work. And we leave God in that box. As long as things go well, God's where we put him, so we think. Until trouble arises, and then we go let him out of the box. And we tell him our troubles. And then when God straightens out our problems and our troubles, we put him back in the box until the next time we need him. You may have put him back one time too many, and he hasn't talked to you in a good while. Or we say to the Lord, in the morning or in the evening, hopefully both, Lord, I'm opening my Bible now. Now I want you to speak with me. Or I'm sitting down on the pew, so it is your time to speak to me. And if you do not speak to me, every last one of us will walk away from the time we've assigned God to talk with us that he didn't, that everything is okay. And we've limited the Almighty God to a time and to a space. When he can speak and how he can speak. And he can speak to me when I read the Bible, or if I agree to the preacher, he can speak to me then. And there's no voice of God to you in the sun rising or the moon rising or the light on the horizon saying early in the morning, the giant ball of fire is following me. We've lost the voice of the birds singing, honoring God with their little tunes. Building their nest and raising their little ones. We've lost God in the trees budding out as they're beginning to do. And we've lost God when our lost neighbor says something to us, or the one we work with, because we cancel out their voices because they are not Christians. The rooster crowed, and Peter heard God. He remembered. And God said to Gideon, if you're afraid to go down to fight the Midianites that outnumber you by the hundreds of thousands, if you're afraid to go down and fight to a people that do not know me, then just one night drift down to their camp and open your ears. So Gideon went down and sneaked up to the outside of a tent, and a Midianite is telling his dream. He said, I dreamed the other night and a cake of barley or barley cake came tumbling into our camp and overturned it. And he said, this is nothing more than the sword of Gideon and of the Lord. And Gideon got up after listening to a man that did not know God and went back unafraid because he heard God's voice in a lost man. And we go through the day with all God's creation around us that has a voice. And in the nighttime, soon, the night hawks and the whippoorwill will begin crying. But we won't hear God in it. Won't be long till the little butterflies, the young ones, will begin migrating back from the warmer climate to which they travel, or the birds migrating back to North America. But they'll have no voice to us because religion has trained us how, when, and what we ought to hear from God. And if what God says to you runs contrary to your religious nature, you're going to cast it off. And I'm going to cast it off unless God helps us all. Mr. Tozer said we've lost God amid the wonders of His world. And scientists have silenced the creative voice of God. Education has wiped God out of our minds and out of our hearts. And we don't hear anymore. Number two, we're taken up with things. Other things. Even in quietness, we can't get quiet. There won't be a noise around you to distract you. And yet there'll be so much noise in your head. Things keep popping up, racing by. And our minds become like the troubled sea. And we feel God's fortunate if we give Him 30 minutes in the morning and an hour on Sunday. See, if you can get your heart turned from things just long enough and just quiet enough, and it's going to be a labor to get quiet in here so that you can hear the voice of the Son of God talking to you. Well, I read my Bible. That's enough. Listen, folk, your Bible's a closed book. It is only discernible by the Spirit of God. And Jesus spoke to the two disciples that had given up because a specific hour on the clock He did not return. But He joined themselves in great mercy to them, and He spoke to them of Moses, of the writings of Moses and of the prophets and of the Psalms. But it didn't help until He opened their understanding. Doesn't matter if you read. It doesn't matter if you sit down here. It doesn't matter how well audibly you hear. You can't hear God unless God gives you hearing and understanding. Lydia, a certain woman, which worshiped God, it said, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things that were spoken to her. Well, she'd been going down there for a long time. She'd been worshiping God for a long time, but not with an open heart. It still veiled over. And God opened her heart. And she heard God talking through Paul's message that morning. Acts chapter 10. Acts 10, a certain man. There's a certain woman named Lydia. A certain man named Cornelius. Verse number 2, a devout one that feared God all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. Wouldn't you like to have a church building full of folk like that? But let's read on and find out about Cornelius. Feared God, gave much alms, prayed to God always. But he heard about Simon. And he was told in verse number 6, he lodgeth with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. Wait a minute. He fears God. He's a liberal giver. He prays to God always. You mean there's something missing? Yeah. You gotta find out from the messenger what it is missing. So they get there. And after God has taken Peter down to the woodshed and stripped him of his prejudices, would to God, and it's in then some dark colored skin here, some light brown colored skin here. Wonder if our prejudices would rise. But God is no respecter of person. If God accepts them, who am I to reject them? Verse number 21, then Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius and said, Behold, I am he whom ye see. What's the cause? Wherefore ye come? Why do you send for me? Verse 25, and as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. Peter's going to do like every sent one of God. Get on your feet. We are equal. The only time I become different from you is when under the unction of the Holy Ghost, I'm telling you, and I become the messenger of God to your soul, but you never worship me. Get up. Verse 29, Therefore came I unto you without gainsaying, as soon as I was sent, for I was asked therefore, for what intent? Why did you send for me? You got all the outward indication or indications of being a true servant of God. What more you need? Verse 33, Immediately therefore I sent to thee, and thou hast done well that thou art come. Now therefore are we all here present before God to hear all things of God that are commanded thee of God. But Peter goes on to preach to him the Lord Jesus Christ, your only hope. Your only salvation. But you see, folks, we count our decision, we count our what we call prayers, and we count our sitting on the pew hearing, our reading the Bible, we count all that as salvation. None of it is. It is Christ, and Christ alone. Number three, and I'll hasten, the anxieties, the stress of life, and the responsibilities associated with it have caused us to lose the voice of God. One last passage, Exodus chapter number 6. God speaking to Moses after Moses is disheartened that the Lord did not quickly deliver the children of Israel as Moses thought he should. And God talking in verse number 4, "And I have also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage, wherein they were strangers." And Moses goes down and tells them. But now look at verse number 9. "And Moses spake so unto the children of Israel, but they hearkened not unto Moses." He had good news for them. He had the word of God, the promise of deliverance from, and the promise of their entrance into the land of Canaan. All being good, but they hearken not unto Moses for anguish of spirit. Their heart was so burdened down, and the cruel bondage that they were in had brought them to such a place that they couldn't even hear the great promise of God for their deliverance. Now, I do not know if I, at this time, might be speaking to one of you on a stormy sea, where the waves seem higher than you can get over, or the wind stronger than you can force your pathway through that. If I am not, there will come those times. Your sailing into glory is going to have a lot of rough waters that you've got to pass through. Now, if I am speaking to one that within, that you are in this stormy sea, are you trying to get through this with your own energy and your own ability? Because all of us like our independence. We don't want to be obligated to God for anything. Again, I point you back, there's only one that can lift you above and calm the storm. Now in closing, back to Matthew 17. You're under stress. You to life itself. You got so much anxiety within that you can't hear the voice of God. Or has religion silenced the voice of God to you? You can't get quiet long enough. Matthew 17, "And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up, takes them up, gets them above into a high mountain. And everything below is under their feet." Do you know why? Well, I think 1990 we sent up the Hubble telescope, but they didn't have the mirrors exactly right on that, and they didn't get the view they were intending. I think again 99, don't hold me to those dates, somewhere around there, we sent up Kepler. And we got it above the Earth's atmosphere. And it's been sending back those
bright images to the earth, because we could never see them from even the greatest telescope that was on earth at that time, because we had to get through the earth's atmosphere to view distant objects. And earth's atmosphere always dims, and that's with us. Christ has got to get you above even life itself, and especially the demands of life. For you to hear the voice of God. And I close with number four. The familiarity and common occurrences of events have lost their voice of God to us. Death, all about us, has reached and will continue to reach into our homes, snatching away the dearest loved ones. We're moved for a few minutes in the funeral home. Are we moved a few minutes at the funeral? I've always had, usually, a better hearing preaching a funeral. Because they're staring at reality. But it lasts about as long as my standing before them. It's become all too common. We've adjusted to it. We've become so familiar with it that in passing the cemeteries, that doesn't faze us anymore, that one day that will hold our bodies. Dear soul, I would encourage you, there's a great movement burning the body completely to hell. What? Cremation. It's cheaper. But I remind you that Joseph wanted his bones taken up out of Israel. This is God's house. Now I know there's nothing special about this body. And I know that those, the children of God that have been cremated, God can from the ashes bring those bodies back as they were, which He will. But don't do that. Now, if you're obligated because of the demands of a loved one, that's okay. You can't stop that. But don't do that to your own body. God made it. But we've lost all that. We pass the cemeteries and do so usually daily. Doesn't mean anything to us, but there we will be. Potiphar, one of the big cheese in Pharaoh's court, he gets news that Joseph is in the second chariot, and God has put everybody under his charge. He's over all Egypt. Now, can you imagine the first time that a chariot comes down the road where Miss Potiphar and Potiphar live? She tried to entice him. She lied about him. Her husband, in anger, put him in prison. And the chariot wheels crying out, "Justice is coming. The vengeance of Joseph will now be executed upon thee." But the chariot didn't stop at their door, and they breathed a sigh of relief. The second chariot rumbles by, and the heart said, I must pay for my crimes. But it didn't stop. And the third, and the fourth, and the fifth, until the rumbling wheels of the chariot lost their voice to her and him as they came down the street. They had no sound in them anymore. She'd become used to it. You've become used to sitting here. Ahab, as the dogs lick the blood of Naboth that you had killed, in the very place where they lick thy blood. So he goes home and tells his wife. He's always telling the stronger one in the family. When the first time the neighbor's dogs bark down the street, fear rises in his heart, and she trembles. Or maybe not her, but he trembling so that he tells her, and she says, don't worry about it. And over the months, the dogs barking lost their voice to him. It did not cause fear in his soul anymore. But as one of the old men said, the wheels of God's justice turn slowly, but they turn. Every one of us is going to face God. And you will either be the better for hearing or under the greater condemnation for hearing, and in hearing, not hearing. You can go home and think about other things that have disrupted and interfered with your hearing. I just listed the only ones the Lord gave me for you. Don't be a careless hearer, or God will remove His voice.